Chapter 105. Accepted? Apostrophe, apostrophe, my dear, apostrophe, observed Mr. Micawber, but glancing inquisitively at Traddles too. We have time enough before us for the consideration of those questions. Apostrophe, Micawber, apostrophe, she returned. No. Your mistake in life is that you do not look forward far enough. You are bound, in justice to your family, if not to yourself, to take in at a comprehensive glance the extremest point in the horizon to which your abilities may lead you. Apostrophe, Mr. Micawber coughed, and drank his punch with an air of exceeding satisfaction, still glancing at Traddles, as if he desired to have his opinion. Why, the plain state of the case, Mrs. Micawber, apostrophe, said Traddles, mildly breaking the truth to her. I mean the real prosaic fact, you know, apostrophe, just so, apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber, my dear Mr. Traddles, I wish to be as prosaic and literal as possible on a subject of so much importance. Apostrophe, apostrophe is, apostrophe, said Traddles, that this branch of the law, even if Mr. Micawber were a regular solicitor, apostrophe, exactly so, apostrophe, returned Mrs. Micawber. Wilkins, you are squinting, and will not be able to get your eyes back. Apostrophe, apostrophe has nothing, apostrophe, pursued Traddles, to do with that. Only a barrister is eligible for such preferments. And Mr. Micawber could not be a barrister without being entered at and in of court as a student for 5 years. Apostrophe, do I follow you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber, with her most affable air of business. Do I understand, my dear Mr. Traddles, that, at the expiration of that period, Mr. Micawber would be eligible as a judge or chancellor? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he would be eligible, apostrophe, returned Traddles, with a strong emphasis on that word. Thank you, apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber. That is quite sufficient. If such is the case, and Mr. Micawber forfeits no privilege by entering on these duties, my anxiety is set at rest. I speak, apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber, as a female, necessarily. But I have always been of opinion that Mr. Micawber possesses what I have heard my papa call, when I lived at home, the judicial mind. And I hope Mr. Micawber is now entering on a field where that mind will develop itself and take a commanding station. Apostrophe, I quite believe that Mr. Micawber saw himself, in his judicial mind's eye, on the woolsack. He passed his hand complacently over his bald head, and said with ostentatious resignation, my dear, we will not anticipate the decrees of fortune. If I am reserved to wear a wig, I am at least prepared, externally, apostrophe, in allusion to his baldness, for that distinction. I do not, apostrophe, said Mr. Micawber, regret my hair, and I may have been deprived of it for a specific purpose. I cannot say. It is my intention, my dear Copperfield, to educate my son for the church. I will not deny that I should be happy, on his account, to attain to eminence. Apostrophe, for the church? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said I, still pondering, between whiles, on Uriah Heep. Yes, apostrophe, said Mr. Micawber. He has a remarkable head voice, and will commence as a chorister. Our residence at Canterbury, and our local connection, will, no doubt, enable him to take advantage of any vacancy that may arise in the cathedral corps. Apostrophe, on looking at Master Micawber again, I saw that he had a certain expression of face, as if his voice were behind his eyebrows, where it presently appeared to be, on his singing us as an alternative between that and bed, the woodpecker tapping. After many compliments on this performance, we fell into some general conversation, and as I was too full of my desperate intentions to keep my altered circumstances to myself, I made them known to Mr. and Mrs. Micawber. I cannot express how extremely delighted they both were by the idea of my aunt's being in difficulties, and how comfortable and friendly it made them. When we were nearly come to the last round of the punch, I addressed myself to Traddles, and reminded him that we must not separate without wishing our friends health, happiness, and success in their new career. I begged Mr. Micawber to fill us bumpers, and proposed the toast in due form. Shaking hands with him across the table, and kissing Mrs. Micawber, to commemorate that eventful occasion. Traddles imitated me in the first particular, but did not consider himself a sufficiently old friend to venture on the second. "My dear Copperfield," apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, rising with one of his thumbs in each of his waistcoat pockets, "the companion of my youth, if I may be allowed the expression, and my esteemed friend Traddles, if I may be permitted to call him so, will allow me, on the part of Mrs. Micawber, myself, and our offspring, to thank them in the warmest and most uncompromising terms for their good wishes. It may be expected that on the eve of a migration which will consign us to a perfectly new existence," apostrophe Mr. Micawber spoke as if they were going 500,000 miles, "I should offer a few valedictory remarks to two such friends as I see before me. But all that I have to say in this way, I have said. Whatever station in society I may attain, through the medium of the learned profession, of which I am about to become an unworthy member, I shall endeavor not to disgrace, and Mrs. Micawber will be safe to adorn. Under the temporary pressure of pecuniary liabilities, contracted with a view to their immediate liquidation, but remaining unliquidated through a combination of circumstances, I have been under the necessity of assuming a garb from which my natural instincts recoil. I allude to spectacles and possessing myself of a cognomen, to which I can establish no legitimate pretensions. All I have to say on that score is, that the cloud has passed from the dreary scene, and the god of day is once more high upon the mountaintops. On Monday next, on the arrival of the 4 o'clock afternoon coach at Canterbury, my foot will be on my native heath. My name, Micawber." Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Micawber resumed his seat on the close of these remarks, and drank two glasses of punch in grave succession. He then said with much solemnity, "One thing more I have to do, before this separation is complete, and that is to perform an act of justice. My friend Mr. Thomas Traddles has, on two several occasions, put his name, if I may use a common expression, to bills of exchange for my accommodation. On the first occasion Mr. Thomas Traddles was left, let me say, in short, in the lurch. The fulfillment of the second has not yet arrived. The amount of the first obligation," apostrophe here Mr. Micawber carefully referred to papers, "was, I believe, 23.49½ of the second, according to my entry of that transaction, 18.62. These sums, united, make a total, if my calculation is correct, amounting to 41.10.11½. My friend Copperfield will perhaps do me the favor to check that total?" Apostrophe apostrophe, I did so, and found it correct. "To leave this metropolis," apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, "and my friend Mr. Thomas Traddles, without acquitting myself of the pecuniary part of this obligation, would weigh upon my mind to an insupportable extent. I have, therefore, prepared for my friend Mr. Thomas Traddles, and I now hold in my hand, a document, which accomplishes the desired object. I beg to hand to my friend Mr. Thomas Traddles my 1.0.41.10.11½, and I am happy to recover my moral dignity, and to know that I can once more walk erect before my fellow man." Apostrophe apostrophe, with this introduction, which greatly affected him, Mr. Micawber placed his 1.0 in the hands of Traddles, and said he wished him well in every relation of life. I am persuaded, not only that this was quite the same to Mr. Micawber as paying the money, but that Traddles himself hardly knew the difference until he had had time to think about it. Mr. Micawber walked so erect before his fellow man, on the strength of this virtuous action, that his chest looked half as broad again, when he lighted us downstairs. We parted with great heartiness on both sides, and when I had seen Traddles to his own door, and was going home alone, I thought, among the other odd and contradictory things I mused upon, that, slippery as Mr. Micawber was, I was probably indebted to some compassionate recollection he retained of me as his boy lodger, for never having been asked by him for money. I certainly should not have had the moral courage to refuse it, and I have no doubt he knew that, to his credit be it written, quite as well as I did. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.